Welcome to Business Smarts Radio with Tom and Dr. Dave, the clean approach to building your successful business. Now, let's introduce Tom Borg and Dr. Dave Miles.
Welcome to Business Smarts Radio with Tom and Dr. Dave, where we bring you the clean approach to building your successful business. And by clean, we are not talking about spick and span and dust mops. This whole podcast is all about the acronym CLEAN. We're all about communication, leadership, engagement,
and no drama.
Absolutely. So in today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about dumping your annual performance appraisal, which sounds strange, but we're going to tell you what you could do instead and some hits, tips, and techniques. If you're not in a position to dump it, how you could add a little bit of flair to make it the most effective that you possibly can while keeping the structure that you're currently in. So, Tom, tell us a little bit about some of the work that you've done with some of the folks, as we were talking about before we started recording.
Sure.
About just issues, problems, concerns with the annual performance appraisal, as it is right now in most organizations.
Yes. Unfortunately, in a lot of organizations that are out there today, you'd be surprised, either they don't do performance appraisals, or if they do them, they do them in a way where they call it the old annual review. That is, once a year, end of the year, they get that person in the room, the manager gets them in the room, and they sit down, and now, you know what the employee thinks, okay, I'm gonna use this time as a way to justify my much-deserved raise. Well, on the other end of it is, the manager might be thinking, I can use this time as a way to argue any idea of giving this person a raise. So, and that's not a good way to, that's more like win-lose. So yeah. What we're thinking when it comes to a performance review or a performance appraisal, whatever we want to call it, we need to actually fill those words out. Bob Kelleher, real expert in the industry, is recommending what we do is we go with, call it a goal setting session. That's what it should be, a goal setting session where you sit down with that person, you look at the things they need to accomplish over the next year, the things they want to accomplish the next year. And at the same time, look at the way they can do that. Is it they're going to need to go to training? Maybe they're going to need to get some additional software that they need installed in their system at work. Maybe they need to be able to tag along with someone else, learn on the go with one of the other experienced people in the organization. But the idea is to put together a plan, and then here's the next step that we want to be aware of, and we'll talk more about this as we go. But you need to have a strategy on how to continue to communicate with that person throughout the year to make sure they're staying on target.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because there's a lot of annual performance reviews, especially for larger organizations, that they do have the goals, we're going to set our goals for next year and what you're going to do and blah, 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 which is great. And I mean, you need to. I think the problem is not the performance appraisal part of it, but it's the word before that, which is the annual.
Mm-hmm.
It's the coming back to it and only looking at it in theory one time a year.
That's right.
Performance appraisal season, the edict comes down from HR, it's time to get these done, especially if you're in a very flat organization. And I had a friend of mine who literally had 110 direct reports.
Wow.
And he dreaded.
Way too much.
Dreaded. Well, it was kind of a distributed model where it was a transportation company. And so he was their direct manager, but you had a dispatch system. So basically the telling them where to go and what to do every day was handled by a set of dispatchers. But as far as the direct managerial employee reporting system, yeah, he literally had 110. It was insane. He dreaded performance appraisal eval. And unfortunately, what do you get out of it? It's a cattle call. And then with 110 people, what do you take the, for lack of a better term, you put the scale in front of every, you put your scale out on your desk and you pull out everybody's file and you literally measure out the aw shucks and the attaboys, and we all know that's a 24-to-1 ratio. One aw shucks wipes out 24 attaboys, right? You know this.
That's right.
Mathematical, it's physics, right? It's a mathematical proof, right? No, it's, but they just literally look at good, bad, write something down, keep going. And there's no, that more or less defeats the purpose.
Right.
So I think the biggest thing is being able to have some mechanism And in an extreme case like that, it's very difficult to do. But most people don't have 110 direct reports. They have 3 or 5 or 7 or 15, something manageable. And I think the biggest thing is, how can you chunk that down and let people know along the way how they're doing towards their goals?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things you want to share with them today, our listeners today, is that you have to have a system. It doesn't have to be a real strict, rigid system, but set up a time that you're going to be meeting with this person on a regular basis. Now, it might be something as simple as 5 minutes at the water cooler, right? Just say, hey, how's it going on such and such a part of that plan that we're working on this year for you? Any help that you might need. But the key is to be able to continually do that. And you really do need to schedule that. And it, albeit informal, it should be part of your plan where you're going to touch base with that person maybe once a week or maybe once every other week. But the idea is to keep the communication link going. Maybe they need additional help. Maybe they have questions that they need answered. So we need to be able to have that structure in place. The last thing I want to hear a client tell me is, well, we planned on doing that, but we just didn't get around to it, right? That's poor leadership. You've got to have a system. You got to work that system. And that's really the key to getting consistent results.
Yeah. And it's funny because you mentioned, some people might say, oh my God, I got to meet with everybody once a week or once every 2 weeks. And maybe that it looks like it's too much. Well, you know, start out with a, like you said, more of a informal, make it a standing meeting. Okay. Yeah. We're not going to sit. Sure. It's just a standing meeting, 10 minutes tops. How are things going? What can I do to help? You know, here's some things that I've noticed, you know, back and forth, and anything you need, what can I help you with? Here's what I've noticed, and just guide them on that path. So even if it's once a month,
that's right.
And be able to start, or once a quarter, and then you can get to once a month and you can get to every week. But the trick is trying to get it down to something that's a regular basis. I would say monthly would be the shortest time frame. I mean, you know, the absolute longest I would go in between check-ins.
Absolutely. Well, here's the other thing too with that, Dave. Think about the psychology behind this. If you just, see, there's three ways to do this. You could do it to your employees, you could do it for your employees, or you could do it with your employees. So what we're suggesting here is, yeah, you could do it to them, catch them doing it wrong, you know, nail them, that's doing it to them. You could do it for them. In other words, you take these things off their plate, you do it for them, or have someone else take the assignment. And that's not helping the person because they're now you're no longer holding them accountable. The best way that's suggested is do it with them. So when you sit down and do that goal setting session for the year, it's something where you're going to have a responsibility in making sure that this person is following through. They're going to have a responsibility in checking back with you to let them know how things are going. So this way, it's something that's a team effort, and it gets the job done in a way that is a positive result. You know, can you imagine you would not talk to your spouse and maybe once a month? That'd be crazy. You'd have to say hi to her. You got to get with your spouse a lot more than once a month if you want to have a successful marriage.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of the same way at work. You want a successful relationship with these people that work for you. You got to let them know that you're there for them and communicate with them on a regular basis. This will just eliminate the problems that you're going to get. I always tell my clients when they say, well, we don't have enough time to do that. Well, our response is, hey, you don't have enough time not to do it.
Yeah.
Because the fires that will come up and miscommunications that will result because you're not doing these types of approaches to communicating with them, it's going to make it well worthwhile in the long run by just doing it.
No, I would absolutely agree with that, because here's the thing. It's like a lot of things. It's like just back to the old sharpening your axe metaphor. I mean, it's if you don't take that time out to do that, eventually you're going to burn people out. People are going to get frustrated and they're not going to want to do things. Now, I wanted to go back. You were talking about doing things to them and catching them doing something wrong, kind of nailing them right there. That's one aspect of it, kind of the proactive end of it. Hopefully folks are doing is in the process of, let me catch them doing something right.
Yes.
And compliment them for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say for the annual performance evaluations, one time in my life, I had one supervisor that was probably the most impressive supervisor I ever had in this regard. Kept a little notebook in his front pocket, wrote everything down. And I never worked for the guy before. So it came to performance evaluation time. He literally had a list. Okay, on this day you did this, this day that, this day you caught this one thing that was awesome, that was a great safety thing, cool. And I was like, you remember that? I mean, he wrote all of that. He had it down to the nth detail.
That's impressive.
Which was very impressive. But how many people do that, really?
No.
Very few have that kind of detail. And same thing, if I find out in March during the annual performance of something that I should have corrected back last April, what good is that doing me?
Too late.
At some point, it's too late to course correct. And, you know, it's the cool thing about the goals. You sit down, you go over goals. Here's what we're going to do. You know, basically, I think I worked for one place. And basically, depending on how you met the goal was, you know, you got so many points for getting 70% of the goal or 80% of the goal or whatever. The cool part is if you go back and look through these on a regular basis, even if it's, you know, once every 2 weeks, once a week, once a month, if you get to a point where like, hey, I'm running into snags, I'm running into problems, I don't see how I can accomplish this goal. Is there something that you can eliminate a barrier for me?
Yes.
To help me accomplish this goal? Or is this goal something that we need to shelve right now? And this is not something that's going to be doable. And there's nothing wrong with that, but why wait until March? Why wait until performance evaluation season? And then you find out that, oh, wow, I couldn't accomplish this goal. You've got 3 or 4 or 5 goals that are standing in between you and your raise. If it's tied to that. And now, well, there's a legitimate reason you didn't get the goal. But you know what? Bottom line is you didn't get the goal. Right. So now we're here sitting here doing this and sign here. And, yeah, no raise for you this year.
Well, the hitchhike on that, if they're on track and you're helping them – correct whatever they need to correct to get closer to that goal. The goal is to reach the goal. Okay. You want them to get that raise. You want them to get whatever bonus or whatever there might be coming to them, provided they do what they're supposed to do and they've received the help along the way to get there. Then it's a win-win situation. That's really the ultimate objective here. We want to help them succeed because when they succeed, of course, the company succeeds.
Exactly. So that really is the crux of all of it is, you know, we succeed as leaders and managers by helping the people underneath of us meet their goals.
Absolutely.
And I mean, that's really what, you know, hopefully the goals are something that's meaningful for them. It's not arbitrary. It's not just simply tied to.
They need to be part of that planning process. Absolutely.
Yes. So they need to be vested in and they're happy to do. Like it's you know, some of them may be some stretch, but some of it really needs to be, hey, this is what I would like to get done this year. And all of these, you should be able to tie the big picture, all these different goals back to the company's success and basically to their vision, their mission, their values.
Yes, absolutely.
So that way, in the best case, in whether it's a performance evaluation or just even a job description, you could be an accounts payable clerk. Well, I used this in a nonprofit setting for a client. I said, you know, we were talking to the CEO about putting these things together and have some of the folks that worked for them seemed rather disengaged. They liked the mission of the nonprofit, but they were like, I come in, I'm environmental services. I clean, I work at accounts payable, accounts receivable, but whatever. So the trick was helping them work on an idea where they could take every single job description. And I do the accounts payable. But if I didn't do the accounts payable, we wouldn't have this. If we didn't have this, we wouldn't be able to have that. If we wouldn't be able to have that, we wouldn't do that. And if we couldn't do that, then we couldn't meet our mission of helping people with significant disabilities or whatever their mission happened to be. And so I was like, you have every single person has to have that clarity on, yes, it might be looking at in the big picture, a small cog in the wheel, a small piece of the pie, but it's essential. You know, everybody here is truly essential. If I don't do my job, then so-and-so can't do their job, and this can't happen, and that can't happen. And they've got to see that clear, linear path to how this is helping, whether it's the company or whether it's helping the nonprofit or whatever it is, accomplish their mission. And that clarity really helps drive, I think, the goals and helps keep people going.
And keeps them motivated. You're right on the money with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So what else do we have as far as what would you recommend for folks as far as to implement something like this? We talked about going maybe every week, every 2 weeks, whatever, as far as an informal, like a standing meeting. That way it's not doesn't take up a tremendous amount of their time.
That can be part of it. I think here's the key. First, you have a starting point. Sit down. You look at the year. You look at the person. You look at the position. And you look at what needs to be accomplished over the next year. So between you and that person, of course, you being the manager or the owner, you want to be the guiding light, so to speak, and make sure that you get a clear list of goals put down there? What are some of the concerns that that person might have in reaching these goals? What are some of the things they're going to need? What are the tools they're going to need? Are they going to need some support from some of the other departments? Are they going to need training? Whatever it might be. But get real clear on what are the goals and what are some of the obstacles that may prevent that person from reaching those goals. So that's great. Once you get that in place, then you look at, well, let's see, how are we going to communicate, keep on track with this? So then you might set it up where it's going to be every other week. You have a 15-minute coffee, and then maybe the week after that, or the next meeting after that, you'll have an hour meeting where you sit down. But you set it up where it's going to be dependable. Don't start these things and then not do them. In other words, start doing it for about a month or two and then you forget about it. That's just, what's that communicating to the person that you're trying to lead?
Labor of the month.
Yeah. The idea is if you communicate that type of an approach where you start it and you just forget about it, you're just saying two things. One, you can't be trusted as a leader to support your person that you said you were going to support. And two, it's going to create some animosity between you and that other person, because when it comes to the end of the year and you're looking at what that person was able to accomplish, well, if you weren't doing your part as a leader or the manager, that person's going to be pretty upset with that. So that's the key, is to be able to set up a plan and to follow that plan and be persistent about it. I think that's the key. And again, another thing, as you're moving through those weeks and months, make sure every time you catch them, you see them doing something right, you tell them about it. You make sure they know when they're succeeding. So they need to hear these good things all the way, more of those than when they get off track. So it's just good management skill sets when you run it that way.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely agree with that. And one of the things that we had talked about beforehand, and you just nailed it, is the bottom line with all of this is, yes, you have to have a system. Yes, you have to be consistent with your system, because that proves that you're trustworthy as a leader or a manager. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that you're, you know, catching them doing positive things, all the things that we just talked about. But really what it boils down to, I think bottom line, is it just boils down to good communication.
Yes.
I mean, we talk about at the very beginning during our intro that everything we do has to do with communication, leadership, engagement. But think about how this particular topic hits all three. If it's not good communication, if you're not a good, solid, strong leader, you're not going to think ahead like, okay, I need to be able to communicate with this person in the mm-hmm. best way that I can and how they like to be communicated with, kind of mm-hmm. platinum rule type of thing. Mm-hmm. I really need to make sure that I'm meeting with them on a regular basis. You're being proactive as a leader, but coming down to the communication end of it and making sure that same thing, you know, your primary communication side, you know, how you like to communicate, but also how that comes across to others and how you can adapt that to other individual communication styles. And sounds strange, but what are the individual communication styles of all my team and how does that all kind of relate? So I can put something out as a team, but you know what? I've got 40% of my team that are, highly supportive type of folks, and I need to put something out ahead of time. We're having a team meeting. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to put some minutes out a couple days in advance or an agenda so people can and say, hey, come to the meeting prepared to do or talk about XYZ. Mm-hmm. Gives them a little bit of time to prepare. That right. way I'm not springing something on people, just little things like that. But I think that if people understood, since it does come down strictly really to communication, and if they understood their communication style, the communication style was, and how to adapt that, and even having something as simple as when we're doing a one-on-one, having just a comparison report to sit there and really just look at, okay, well, how to, like if you and I were sitting there looking at how to communicate with Tom, how to communicate with Dave, how not right. to communicate with Tom, how not to communicate. All right, well, you pick your top two or three. I'll pick my top two or three in each category. We'll compare notes. And that way, as a manager, if you had six or seven direct reports, you've pretty much got a roadmap on exactly how to tailor the communication for same message, mm-hmm. but tailor it for each of your six or seven people to make it the most mm-hmm. effective possible.
Oh, yeah. And Dave, that's where our talent insights report comes in very handy. That's where it's going to measure the behaviors and the motivators. So if our clients are using something like that, that's what we really recommend. Use that as a tool to yeah. help with those one-on-one conversations you're having with that individual over the course of the year. And of course, that's something you should put in the file right next to the regular input that you're putting into that file. But those reports, the report that shows their styles in terms of behaviors and motivators, can be very helpful in helping you stay on track to communicate with them and understand what motivates them in a way that you wouldn't if you just didn't have that information at your fingertips.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of folks that we've worked with that they've kind of figured that out, but they've been working together for 10, 12, 15 years. Well, mm-hmm. if you haven't, or if you got some new folks on the team or you're a new team leader, you know, how do you short circuit that process so you don't figure it out by hook and crook over 15 years, you know? And right. how do you kind of get that whole layout of how your team, the behavioral attributes of your whole team, and as a team, this is kind of more or less how we are, and where are the points that we can have significant conflict and significant cooperation? You know, where are those points at? And mm-hmm. so I think all those are super helpful.
Yeah, so that's knowing your team. It's really knowing the people that work for you. And on the flip end, where they know you and your style and your motivator. So that's what we open up these doors of communication. So
and how much does it make your job much more enjoyable as a leader? Yeah. When people are coming to you. If you're that kind of real direct, three bullet point, give me the executive summary, give me what I need to know, and then if I want extra detail, I'll ask you. How much better does it make you feel when your people come to you and give you that information, the same versus having somebody who's highly analytical want to give you all the details and you're just there, you take it as they're droning on. They're mm-hmm. taking it as I have to give you all the back valuable information to put it into context.
Yeah.
You're disengaged. You're just like, okay, this is painful. Make it stop. And mm-hmm. then none of you are communicating as effectively as you could.
Nope.
It makes your job more enjoyable. And that's really, then it makes their job more enjoyable because they know they can get the information to you quickly. You're getting the information to them how they need it. Overall, it's just a win. But that's where it ties back into the engagement.
I totally agree. Because
when you're not butting heads between team members or between managers and direct reports, it just makes for a much more enjoyable workplace. And so it's for a more highly engaged and, God forbid, a more highly productive
workplace. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like you know, it's the quote that's out there. It's been a lot of people have been attributed to saying it, but I understand St. Francis of Assisi first said, first seek to understand before you want to be understood. And these tools are the things that can help us do that even better. So again, tying it right back to that performance appraisal, annual review, hopefully those are words you're not using anymore, but you want to have yourself have a set of those tools available to help you do that in a proper way. Have a formula for doing it over the course of a year, and you're going to just be in much better shape when it comes time to comes to the end of that year, and you're looking back at seeing what this person was able to accomplish.
Yep, I agree 100%. So, a couple of things in conclusion: mm-hmm. one, I would do some research on these new methods of performance evaluations. Bob Keller was a great resource. I would mm-hmm. definitely take a look him up. Another resource I would look up, highly recommend, is David Berkus. Mm-hmm. He's been doing a lot of research, a lot of writing, and a lot of speaking. Look his stuff up on YouTube. I think it's davidberkus.com. So you can look up all his material.
A lot of good.
Great material. He's done some talks on Google on this. So I cannot recommend his information highly enough in this particular category. So between Bob Keller and him, you got a wealth of information. That'll take you a while. So look at those two guys first. The other thing I would look to do, if you're the business owner, how can you restructure this whole program to doing like every other week or every, you know, informal check-ins, more formal check-ins, maybe on every other week or monthly basis, things to where it's not just the one time a year annual performance review season.
Mm.
And on the flip end of the coin, if you're mid-level somewhere or even upper level, but you're in a structure for a larger corporation where you cannot get rid of this. This is still the required.
That's right.
What can you do to add this, all this great information from Bob and from David Berkus and all these folks as an overlay? Yeah, mm-hmm. I still have to do the annual review formally, but guess what? By the time you get there, it's the same 10-minute, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what you did this year. It's not a surprise for everybody. Everybody knows what's coming because guess what? We've been talking about it the whole year. So they know. It makes it super simple for you. A much better experience for them. And just like I said, just do it almost as an overlay to it and build it into your management practice.
I think so. What we're asking our listeners today, go out and try it. Try this and see what happens because you got to take action. Otherwise, to know and not to do is not to really know, as someone once said.
Very true. Very true. So if you are looking for more information as far as to discover kind of your inherent primary communication style, or maybe that is your team, reach out to either one of us. We'd be more than happy to get you some information on that. But until then, like I said, look up Bob Kelleher and David Berkus and some of their research on this topic. I think you're really going to like it. I think it's going to make some big difference in your organization. And overall, I think it's a change. People are leery of change sometimes, but in the end, I think you're going to be very happy with the results. Any final words, Tom?
I think just to summarize, picked up a good idea in this conversation we've had today. Take it out there and use it.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for joining us for Business Smarts Radio, where we bring the clean approach to building your successful business. And as we said, it's all about communication, leadership, engagement,
and no drama.
Take care. We will see you on the next episode.